And we are looking at this passage that's talking about brotherly love. So I guess it's been three weeks now. You guys sent me down to Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for that. That was an amazing time away and had a very relaxing time. And before I left, we were looking at brotherly love. I had said to you that we were going to be talking about hospitality when we returned. And briefly, I talked to you about hospitality, mentioned it, and went into a little bit of detail. But I said I was going to break this out a little bit more because this is a very important topic. This is essential to the church. This is so important that our homes and our hearts be open to others. And we're going to see why that is today. And so three weeks ago, we were challenged to identify the source of all love because we talked about brotherly love. This is the Philadelphia love. But without the agape love, that's the Greek word for the God love, the love that God had so much so that he gave his only begotten son. Without the agape, the love of God, we couldn't show brotherly love to each other on a consistent basis. We might have affection for each other somewhat, but we cannot consistently show the love that we need to show to each other apart from the love that God has poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And so we talked about how we need to think about our shared paternity, that we all share a father, that because of Jesus Christ, because he died for us, we all share the father that Jesus calls our father in heaven. That we can look to God and say our Father in heaven, and therefore we should have love for each other because we are brothers and sisters. And finally, last week I shared that we need to consider what we may have lost. And that is in regard to the fact that sometimes our love can grow cold. And that is a good barometer. If our love for our Christian brothers and sisters has grown cold, that is a good barometer, a good test to ask us, are we still walking in love with our Heavenly Father? Are we still in love with the Heavenly Father, or has that love grown cold? And so then I said that we are going to talk about hospitality when I came back. And so we're going to continue to look at those two things of caring for strangers and also caring for those who are mistreated, looking around for those that are marginalized and mistreated and caring for their needs, the needs of those who are suffering. Now, our church is already generous. You guys are hospitable. I travel around sometimes to different churches. We visit different churches and I can learn different things from different churches. And one thing I'm thankful for when I come back to Sweets is seeing how hospitable you are, how welcoming you are, how friendly you are with our guests and our visitors, making sure people feel at home when they come to this place. I am so thankful for this church. And yet, why then are we needing to talk about this? Why didn't I just mention it and just continue on? The reason why is because all of us can continue to grow in this. And at the same time, we need to realize that as long as you're on this earth, as long as you're in these human bodies, you're going to struggle with this natural tendency to put self back in the middle. It's a constant battle. As long as we're on this earth, till Jesus takes us, we're going to deal with this tendency to put self back on the throne. And so we need to always put our center where it belongs, and it's on Jesus Christ. It's on the love of God. And so we need to talk about hospitality, and we need to push ourselves in that area. There was a young family who invited over another large family to their house, and they were sitting around the table and they sat down to eat, and the mom asked her four-year-old girl to pray. And the four-year-old says, "Mom, I don't know what to say." And the mom says, "Well, just say what I always say." And so the little girl prayed, "Lord, why did I invite all these people over?" I don't know if you've ever felt that, but a lot of times we need to look at our heart in hospitality, and we have to ask ourselves, am I doing this for the right motive? Am I doing this for the right reason? And so I want to talk to you about motive, the method, and the mission of hospitality. What is the motive of hospitality? What is the method, and what is the mission? And so first of all, the motive, the God-centered motive for hospitality begins in the Old Testament. And perhaps the clearest text for this is actually found in Leviticus. Leviticus is very useful. Leviticus 19:33 says that when a stranger or a sojourner, somebody travels through and they're in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you. You shall treat them as your own, and you shall love him as yourself. And so this is hospitality. This is saying, okay, these people have joined with you. You are to take them in. You are to take them and love them as your own. You are not to mistreat them. Not only that, he says, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You see the two reasons? Those are the two motives. One is that they were strangers in the land of Egypt. They know what it feels like. They know what it's like to be the outsiders and feel like they were on the outside of society. And so God says, you know how that feels. Therefore, I want you to take them in. Not only that, the other reason is, I am the Lord your God. You're like, okay, it's God's God. But what God is saying here is he's saying, I am the Lord your God. God is showing us that his characteristic and his attitude is that of hospitality. God is the ultimate example of hospitality. We see this throughout scripture. We see it in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 to verse 30. We see an excellent picture of the creation and how right at the beginning, God shows hospitality. Verse 28, he says, and then God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God says, see, I have given to you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air. And so what God is saying here is that he created this beautiful garden, and he's saying to them, I have shown you hospitality. I'm saying to you, eat whatever you want. Take part of it. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy the herbs. Enjoy the fruit of the land. I have created this beautiful place for you. It was watered by springs that sprung up from the earth. God created this beautiful place and said, welcome to my garden. So I want to spend time with you. And that's what he did. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Every day he walked with man and woman in the garden and spent time with them and provided for them and cared for all of their needs. And they needed to do just one thing, and that is to trust him and to follow after him. And so we see at the very beginning, and then that God is a God of hospitality. And so that's why God says in Leviticus, he says, I am the Lord your God. He's a hospitable God. He's a God who invites people in. He takes in the strangers and the outcasts and the foreigners, and he takes them in, and he provides for them, and he provides a place for them, and he ministers to them, and he walks with them. And now he invites us to be those that are hospitable with him. And he wants to show us and guide us. This is to be our motive. Not only this, but he culminates this plan of hospitality in his son, Jesus Christ, in that Jesus Christ showed the ultimate act of hospitality, in that God gave his only son. And therefore, he took down the middle wall of separation. He took away the divider. He took away the sin separation. And now he invited us back into his presence. He took the rebel sinners, that's us, and he said, you know what? I'm going to deal with your sin, not by punishing you directly, but by putting your sin upon my son. He will pay the price, and he will show you the way. Trust in him. And now we are invited into the family of God. We are invited into his household. What an amazing thing. And then we see this beautiful thing that, you know, we see the Bible starts off with hospitality, but not only that, but it ends with hospitality. This is the scripture that I always read as comfort meeting around those gravestones back there. At the end of a funeral, we say our final goodbyes. This is a reminder for us. Now I saw a new heaven, Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. And the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will be with his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe away every tear. What an awesome promise that God prepared in the Garden of Eden, a place of dwelling with God. Man rebelled against God. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring us back into right relationship. And then he prepared a place in heaven, an eternal home, where we will spend all of eternity worshiping him, enjoying his presence, enjoying the company of the saints, spending time together, doing what we were created to do, and that is to worship our Creator. And so we see here this beautiful plan, this grace, hospitality, is God welcoming sinners, not because of our goodness, but because of his glory, to bring glory to his name. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We weren't part of Israel. That we were without hope, without God in this world. And so what did he do? It says in Ephesians that he predestined us as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Do you understand what our motive is now for hospitality? Because God our Father and Jesus Christ, our brother, who has shown us the way and has provided the way through his own blood, they are hospitable. Our God is a hospitable God. Our God is a God who shows hospitality to those who are on the outside. I find it interesting that the word hospitality comes from the Latin, which is the same word as that we get the word hospital. And if you've ever been to a hospital, they can be crazy places, especially if you go downtown General Hospital. Have you ever been there? It can be wild down there. I remember taking my son Clayton there when he got his thumb ripped off in a quadding accident. And so we're down there to get it sewed, kind of fix it up and such, and get some operating done. And we're standing in the hallway, the emergency room's full, and we're just standing there waiting to go into the operating room. And this guy gets wheeled past on a gurney with a knife wound in his gut. And he looks over and he sees my wife holding our newborn baby. He assumes we're there for that. You know, we just had a brand new baby. He looks over and he looks at me. He's like, "Congratulations, man." And I'm just like, wow. You know, only in a hospital can you be standing there with your son with his thumb torn off and a guy with a knife wound gets wheeled past while you're standing there with your wife and your newborn baby. You know, it was quite the moment. But it reminded me that a hospital is a place that receives people who need help. A hospital is a place where you go to where you when you need help. You need to receive some sort of encouragement in the physical sense. You're there for literal physical healing. Did you know that hospitals, the reason we have the word that hospitality and hospital so close together is that Christians and the church in general are the ones that came up with the whole concept of the hospital. The hospital was a place where people stayed and took shelter, and in that place, they could receive medical aid, they could receive counsel and encouragement, they could receive food and clothing. It was an all-around place of showing that we love you, we care for you, and we bring you in. Now, luckily, you know, I'm happy that things have kind of broken out and separated a little bit. Hospitals where you take care of the physical needs and our homes are the place where we reach those spiritual needs and church services. And in our homes, we can also minister to people's emotional needs and just caring for their physical daily needs as well, giving them food and shelter. But I look at this and I realize that our homes can be like a hospital. That's why we are showing hospitality. And people who are needing something, people who need God's grace and mercy, people who need healing, people who need rest and relaxation, they need to kick their feet up for a bit. You can offer that in your homes. You can provide that. And when you provide that, what you're showing them is you're giving them a picture of who your God is. You're allowing them to see that your God is a generous God, that your God is a welcoming God. That your God is a God who takes in the sojourner and those who are on the outside and makes a way for them to come in the inside. And then you can talk to them about Jesus Christ. Or if you're all part of the family of God anyways, you can celebrate what God has done in your lives and you can be an encouragement to each other and pray for each other. And so that is the reason why, that is the motive for hospitality. But what is the method? The method of hospitality and pursuing hospitality is more than just having people in your home. I know I have a few people that are just like, hallelujah. You know, I had a couple people after last week actually talk to me. And they're just like, seriously, it's just not, you know, it doesn't work for me. For some of you, maybe it doesn't work because, you know, maybe you're building your house and you're living in your parents' basement. You know, maybe your stuff is like literal walls in your parents' basement to give you a room in that house, right? That could be your reality right now, Eden. And so hospitality isn't the easiest thing. It's like, hey, come over to my grandparents' basement and hang out. You know, no, it's not the easiest thing to do. You know, some of you don't have the ability. Maybe you don't have the best setup to show hospitality. Hospitality isn't about, for one thing, having the nicest house. Hospitality isn't about having the best food to offer. Hospitality is about just opening up in whatever way possible in order to invite people into your life. So maybe it's just going out for dinner, saying, hey, let's go out to Dunville. You know, we'll order some KFC. No, joking. We'll get some pizza. We'll go down to the Grand River, right? Well, because if you get KFC, you eat and then you just all have to run home, right? So you can't do that. So get some pizza and let the kids play in the park and enjoy the outdoors and just get to know each other. So if having people in your homes, is that you know, something standing in the way, then it does not limit you from having hospitality. Hospitality can be out in a park. Hospitality can take place after the service this Sunday as you look around and you say, hey, I haven't met that person before. I'm going to introduce myself. You can say, hey, my name's such and such. Are you new here at the church? No, I've been coming here for 2 years. Thanks a lot. That happens. Just be gracious if people think it's your first time at the church. Our church is a growing church, and sometimes you don't know who's who. But go ahead, introduce yourself. Get to know each other at the church service. But what is hospitality? At its source, it is more than just an action. It is becoming a certain type of person. Our motive is that we want to be like our Father, and we want to live like Jesus Christ has shown us how to live, but our method is to become a certain type of person. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 say, and above all things, have a fervent love for one another. Love each other, for love will cover a multitude of sins. But then listen to verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. What's Peter saying here? He's saying that hospitality is not just about a quota of having certain amount of people over for dinner every week or every month, but it's about becoming a certain type of person, the type of person that doesn't wait till the company leaves and say, boy, they ate a lot. they did this or they did that, complaining about your hospitality or complaining, now I got to clean the house. Hospitality has the attitude of, I am so thankful that God has given me the blessing of being able to spend time with those people and get to know my family better, to know my brothers and sisters in Christ, or to be able to reach a person for God that I would never have been able to reach outside of my home. You know, Jesus actually, did you know he rebuked the Pharisees for their actually really crappy hospitality? Listen to this. He went to this house of Simon, and he walked in, and they showed no hospitality. So Simon said, he said, listen, I entered your house, and he says, you gave me no water for my feet, but there was a certain woman there that was a sinner who came to Jesus, and she was so thankful for what Jesus did for her that she showed the hospitality. And so since they didn't give him water for his feet, she washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And then he said to them, you guys, he says, you didn't give me a kiss. He says, but since I've come in, this woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet. I guess that's how they greeted each other in those days. Not kissing feet, but like, you know, greet, kiss on the cheek. And so he's like, this woman has shown me hospitality. And then he says that you did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with anointing oil. And so she showed hospitality. And he said, you guys were just stingy and you thought you were better than everybody else. And therefore you thought, you know, I was a lower person and you didn't show me any of the common hospitality. But this woman did what she knew was the right thing to do. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul says, so affectionately longing for you, he says, that he affectionately longed for them. He says, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God. He says, not only did we give you the gospel of God, he says, but we ourselves, also our own lives. This is what hospitality is. It is giving a person your own life. You're giving your time, your emotion, your heart, your training, you're encouraging. You're allowing them to influence you. You're giving your life, you're imparting life to that individual. And that is what God has done for us. That's our motive, because that is what he has done for us. That is should be our method. That is what we are to do for others also. Now, Genesis 18 gives us an excellent picture of hospitality in the Old Testament. And now, we can't do everything that they did in the Old Testament. Culturally, it doesn't even really work. You know, if you invited me over for dinner and there's a bowl sitting there and you're like, put your feet in the bowl, Pastor, I want to wash your feet. I'd just be like, oh, come on, seriously, we're doing this? I'm sorry. I know that that's something in Scripture that is an important thing, washing of feet, because it was a cultural thing. And in those days, you walked around, you got your feet dirty, and therefore you would get your feet washed when you came as a guest to someone's house. If I come as a guest to your house, if you really want to wash something, please wash my car. If you see it over the, we brought a brown car on purpose, okay? It's across the road. If you want to wash something, that's something that needs to be done. My feet, I just showered this morning. I don't need them washed, okay? Now, I'm not against feet washing ceremony, and I know they can be powerful and beautiful and wonderful. just don't invite me. Because I don't want somebody touching my feet. And see, the picture here is that what we have to do is we have to take what we see in the Bible in the Old Testament and take the example, and we need to interpolate it to our culture. And therefore, you know, if I came over in January to your house and I come to the door and you're just like, oh, it's so good that you're here, and you hand me a cup of water with ice cubes in it. And then I'm just like, oh, thank you for the cold cup of water. I'm kind of freezing, but, you know, thanks anyways. And you're like, well, the New Testament says give a cold cup of water. Interpolate that. Give me a cup of hot chocolate. So you have to take what's in the Old Testament. You have to interpolate it to our society, to our culture. And so when we see Abraham here, it says that the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. Now, you have to understand, Abraham did not know that this was a theophany, an appearing of the Lord. He just thought these guys were just some strangers showing up at his house. And here's how he showed hospitality. He was sitting in the tent of his door in the heat of the day. So it was everybody, you know, it's so hot back then at this particular time of the day, nobody got up and did anything. But this is how he responds when he lifts up his eyes and he sees some men that were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Okay, don't do that to your company. But what we should do is welcome them graciously. Welcome them at the door and be gracious and be joyful at their arrival. Be enthusiastic about the fact that they are at your home. It says he ran to the door and he says, Lord, if you have now found favor, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And then he said to Sarah, hey, quick, go make some bread. And so they made this simple cake. They mixed it up. He said, slaughter the fattened calf. It was something they did in the day. You kept the calf on standby, and it was the fat one, and it was like we slaughter it when special guests come to show hospitality. You know, these things, you can't really do these things these days. You know, what would we do? We look around, there's Colby, you know, he'd be our fattened calf, but, you know, we can't do that. And so what do we do? You know, we got a sleeve of Costco burgers, right? The handy go-to. You know what else we discovered? Is the Costco pre-made buns that need to be heated up for 13 minutes at 375, and you have an instant meal. Costco burgers and what looks like freshly baked buns, and they'll be impressed, I tell you. Not that you're trying to impress anybody. But just being prepared to show that hospitality. And so we see here a beautiful example of somebody who keeps it simple, does it quickly, does it enthusiastically, does it graciously, and provides for all of their needs and makes them feel rested and sits them in the shade and provides for their needs by washing their feet. And so this is what hospitality is. It's seeing people at suites. Maybe it's just, you know, on a Sunday morning, somebody asks where the washroom is. And instead of standing out here and saying, okay, go through that door, and then go down those stairs, go across the hallway by the kitchen, go through the far door, and then walk straight up a short stairs. And then before you get to the nursery, turn right. And then when you get to the top of that stairs, turn right again. Or turn left and then turn right. You have done them nothing. You know, we'll never see those guests again. They will be lost for 10 years in that church. You know what hospitality is? It's doing what the church did when I went to a church in the States, a big church. I had 15,000 people in there. And you know why they have 15,000 people in their church? One of the reasons is when I walked up to their door and I asked, where's your washroom? The girl at the door said, let me show you, follow me. And walked down the hallway and turned one corner and walked a little further and says, they're right here. She could have just said, walk there and turn right. But instead she says, follow me. You know, that felt really good. I felt very honored, you know, just very respected. I felt served and blessed by a person who went above and beyond. No wonder they have 15,000 people that attend their church. That's how their volunteers all work. And you know, I know at Sweets, this is your heart attitude. And so thinking, how would I want to be served if I was visiting this church? How would I want to be served if I was visiting your home? And to treat people in that way. And so there's some practical methods. You know, I remember back in the day in the Dutch church. Who grew up in a Dutch church? Anybody here? Remember on Sunday you made a big pot of meatball soup? right? Some of you did this and you rolled a bunch of meatballs and you had the soup there and you always made enough knowing that we're probably going to have somebody over after church because that's what we do. This is what we do because we are the church. We're going to visit with people. And so you invite a family and then you're like, oh shoot, the wife says, I didn't know you were inviting that family. They have 10 children. So then mom goes and she adds some more water to the soup. That's the great thing about meatball soup, right? And then you have this magical ingredient called Maggi, right? Or maki or something. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Dutch thing. And you take this magical ingredient, which is essentially MSG, and you dump it in the soup, and suddenly your watered-down soup is miraculously like turned from water to wine. It's the good stuff again, right? It's got the richness to it. And you serve that to your guests. And so, you know, just being creative with your hospitality. But I tell you something about the Dutch folk is that they counted on hospitality. It was a part of your life. It's a part of what you do. And growing up in that community taught me a lot about what it means to be hospitable. Now, hospitality doesn't come naturally to everyone. I, for one, as a child, would hide in my parents' van after church. I would lie down on the floor of the van so that nobody would invite me over after church. I just wanted to go home. Some of you, that might be your attitude. You're just, I just want to go home. But what you don't realize is that somebody else might need you. Hospitality is not for you. It can be. It can be an incredible blessing, but you don't do it because you want to be blessed. You do it because you are showing the love of God to somebody else who needs to be blessed. So you don't ask yourself, who are we going to have over that we like, that we have a lot in common with, that we can talk with and have, you know, because we have all of these same things in common and we'll have a great time. But what rather you ask yourself, you know, who can I invite over that we could really learn from and that we could really bless? You know, that is the type of attitude that we should have to hospitality. The final thing is our mission. And so we know our motive, we know our method. We don't know our method. I mean, we're learning as we go. But what is our mission? Don't forget your mission. This is so important. In order to consistently show hospitality, you need to be on mission. If you're not on mission, what happens is hospitality becomes this thing of, you know, the guests leave and you're tired and you're burned out and you have a mess on your hands and you're just like, let's not do that again. You know, because you have the wrong attitude. Mission is what gives you the proper attitude. It's what makes your hospitality a blessing, not only to the people that you're bringing into your home or bringing or that you're blessing, but it's a blessing then to you when you're on mission. You see, we experienced this when we went to Mexico. Our church back way a long time ago went to Mexico every year, and we would get in these vans. We would fly into Tampico, and then we would drive for like 10 hours. We'd get to our hotel. The next morning, we'd wake up, and we drive for 3 hours to go up to a mountain and we minister for a few hours and then drive for another 3 hours to another mountaintop and minister there and then drive another 3 hours and go back to our hotel and be there by 11 p.m. and eat our supper and fall asleep. And during the day, you know, our butts would be so sore. And then for lunch would come out, and inevitably every time the guys who planned this, Darren Smith, great guy, great heart, bless his heart, but it was always bologna sandwiches with mustard. No cooler. We would open up the sandwich and there's that gray piece of bologna on white bread, warm bologna sandwiches. And it's like, good thing it's bologna because this would have gone bad otherwise. Bologna doesn't go bad. It just turns gray. And so we would eat our sandwiches. But I tell you, you know, there was no toilet seats. You had to pay extra for those at the hotel. You know, there was no hot water. Some of the rooms had no mattress. It was just a piece of concrete. Sometimes it was rough. You know, the bed sheets, you could see through them. And there was bugs everywhere. This was a rough environment. And it was not very enjoyable to the physical flesh. But I tell you, up to that point in my life, I never experienced so much of what I call Christian joy. So much purpose, so much mission. You know, I tell you, the times in my life where I felt the most purpose and the most mission is when my flesh was the most uncomfortable. Ants in place. You know, that was the most uncomfortable thing for me ever, being spit on and coughed on and having to wear all of this funny looking gear and then a flowery gown. I looked absolutely, if I had a projector, I'd throw me on the screen. I looked absolutely ridiculous. I felt ridiculous. I was doing things that I was totally uncomfortable with. Never in my life had I felt that fulfilled. Why? Because I was on mission and I knew I was making a difference in their lives. In the Philippines, in Mexico, it's when everything, it feels like, you know, you're putting yourself out, but you don't care because you're on mission. And I tell you, mission changes everything. And so when you have hospitality, yes, it can be comfortable and wonderful and all of this kind of stuff, but sometimes it can turn out a little bit rough. Sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes it can be stretching yourself. But when you have mission, Christian mission, when you have purpose, I tell you, it is totally life-changing. And so whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him is what we are asked in 1 John 3:17. John Murray says that we are to identify ourselves with the needs of the saints, and then we are to make them our own. And here's where the miracle happens. When you do this, you'll be amazed at two things that happen. One is how many needs are all around you. As you look around, I tell you, they are hurting people in this church. There is difficult situations and bad circumstances and people in dire circumstances in this church, and you will see them everywhere when you open your eyes. And at the same time, you will see how God miraculously provides for all of yours and their needs according to his awesome power and ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so, where do you start? I mean, start just with greeting your fellow church members. Start just introducing yourself and talking to people you normally don't talk to. If you're right away approached by somebody else in the church that you normally, it's like, yeah, we always talk together. Maybe the four of you together or the two of you together can look around and say, hey, let's go introduce ourselves to somebody new today. And let's, bring a friend with you if you're uncomfortable doing these things. But I want to encourage you, start by just talking to somebody that you normally would not have talked to because you just don't know them and you're a little bit shy. And I want to encourage you to show that type of love and hospitality. Great Sunday to do it. We got our iced coffee after the service, and we want to encourage everybody to make sure they stay around for some time after. But let's begin or close our time with praying together. Let's all stand up together.